John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Good evening. My name is Josh. I'm one of the ministers here. Before we get into this passage, I want to do a little encouragement, a little shout out to Emily Laurie. If you don't know who Emily Laurie is, if you've been at any ministry in this church, you would have seen her. I noticed this on the weekend. I was up here Saturday morning quite early for M28. And she was already here with the Blue Army team for Blessing Day, which is a group that goes out and helps people in the community who need help. You're a crossfire leader, Friday night, a kids leader, Sunday morning, and you are the last to clean the house on a Sunday night as well. So Emily really is involved in so much stuff here at St. Paul's, and part of me wants to say, like, you need to stop some things because you're going to die. But at the same time, it's such an encouragement that you are just helping so many people to find out about Jesus. So thank you. Yeah. Now, I wonder what doubts you have in normal life. Like, it's kind of cold. And maybe starting to doubt, like, whether this is really Australia, and whether we have summer at all, or every time you bite into a dim sum, you start to doubt what kind of meat might actually be in there. I'm starting to doubt. I'm pretty sure I remember a time where New South Wales like had a chance in the state of origin, but I'm starting to doubt that is actually true. Got the election coming up, and you have doubts about whether the person that becomes prime minister will do the best for our country. And maybe you even have doubts about the person that even becomes prime minister. Like, does it even matter anymore? Because, like, they'll get kicked out once we get bored of them. Like, what doubts, what uncertainties do you have in this life? Take Britain. Like, how much uncertainty do they have at the moment where they're not quite sure what this vote means now that they're out of the EU? What is that going to mean for them as a country? They might have been starting to doubt that decision that they made. Our lives can be so full of doubt, so full of uncertainty in relationships. Will this person be loyal to me? In family, will this person be here for me? At school, will I get good results? At work, will I have security? Life can be full of these little doubts. So what about us as Christians? Can we have doubts as Christians? Have you ever had a doubt and uncertainty that, what if this thing isn't real? What if these things that I believe aren't actually true? Have you ever had a doubt about your faith? Is God there? Does he care? Does he love me? Did Jesus really come back from the dead? Can I trust him with my life? Do I actually believe all of this? Have you ever had a doubt in your faith? And maybe you're wondering that. You're like, yeah, Josh, like, how do you deal with that? Because, like, you're the minister. You don't have any doubts, right? Wrong. I remember in high school, I was trying to get to sleep, and I started thinking about the concept of eternity. I didn't get to sleep. If you're ever, you know, trying to stay awake, just think about eternity, and you will not be able to get to sleep. I started thinking about this, and then I started thinking about the things that I learned in church and growing up in church, the things I've heard, the things I've read in the Bible, the things that I claim to believe. And I had this feeling, what if it's not true? What if all of it is a lie? And I started to doubt my faith. And can I be honest with you? Every now and then, I check myself and I ask that question, do I actually still believe all this? Yeah, I have doubts. I'll hand in my resignation tomorrow, it's okay. But how do you deal with that? Because we've all been there, right? And maybe you're sitting there tonight and you're thinking, yeah, I've got those doubts right now, doubting whether all of this is actually true. See, I'll tell you the problem, that story that we read out from the Bible, Jesus coming back from the dead. It happened over 2,000 years ago. You can't just go on YouTube and watch the CCTV footage of him walking out of the tomb. Like, if only we could do that. There's no interviews with him afterwards that we can watch on YouTube and actually see, yeah, that actually happened. If only we could have been there, right? You ever thought that? If only I could have seen with my own eyes what the disciples saw. See, the disciples had faith. They had a strong faith. And I wonder if you've ever thought, if only I could have the faith of the disciples. Tonight I want to look at one of those disciples who, even though he was there, he had doubts. What's happened in this story is that Jesus has died. He's been crucified, buried, placed in the tomb. And this is 3 days later. The disciples and all his followers would have had massive doubt at this point, full of uncertainty that the guy that they had given up everything to follow, that had promised so much, had died and left them. So Mary goes to the tomb, finds it empty. Then Jesus appears to her and tells her to go to the disciples and tell them, I've seen the Lord. The disciples are together. And Jesus appears to them, showing them that he has come back from the dead. They believed him, and this is where we pick up the story. It's in verse 24. It's going to come up on the screen. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, I wonder if his friends called him Diddy Kong, or like T. Diddy or something like that. It's a bit of a weird name. Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger where the nails were, put my hand in his side, I will not believe. Thomas doubted. Does anyone know what Thomas's real nickname is, what we call him now? Doubting Thomas. That's what he's known for. I reckon that's so slack, like to actually nickname someone for a mistake that they made. If that was the case for me, that my name would be Peter's Pants on stage in year five, Josh. Doubting Thomas. Thomas wasn't with the disciples when Jesus appeared to them. And even when the disciples told him what had happened, he said, unless I see it for myself, I will not believe. The question is, why did Thomas doubt? Why did Thomas have doubts? There's a simple explanation. Because dead people don't come back from the dead. Dead people don't come back from the dead. See, Thomas used his mind. He used reason. He used science and probability. And he doubted that a person would go against all natural laws and come back from the dead. And forever he is known as Doubtful Thomas. He should be known as Justifiably Skeptical Thomas. See, he knew that dead guys don't come back from the dead. And so he said, unless I see it, I won't believe it. And this is Thomas. Thomas followed Jesus. He saw Jesus perform miracles. He saw Jesus heal people. He even saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. And even Thomas had doubts. I want to say, if Thomas can have doubts, then it's okay for us to have doubts. You know, a lot of the popular belief in atheism is that if you believe that there's a God, that is actually an absence of reason. That faith is based on fantasy or fairy tale or wishful thinking. That to believe in Jesus is to ignore the use of our minds. To ignore reason or research, but that is not how our faith works. In fact, many of the gospel recordings, even John, he wrote these things to show what had happened so that those who would doubt would believe. They simply wrote them down. And the Bible has gone through 2,000 years of scrutiny, detailed scrutiny, and come out as authentic. The historical life of Jesus has been studied by Christian and non-Christian historians and proven that he walked this earth. Our faith isn't an absence of reason. It's founded and grounded in the testimony and eyewitness accounts of those who have gone before us. To have doubt, to have any doubts, means that we are simply using our minds as we work out our faith. So what do we do? What do we do when the doubts come? How do we deal with them? Well, this is where Thomas actually helps us. See, what does Thomas do with his doubts? Well, he didn't give up meeting with the disciples. The next part of this story says, a week later, his disciples were at the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Even in his doubt, Thomas still met with the disciples. They worshipped together. And the disciples didn't push him away. The disciples didn't shun him from the meeting because he didn't believe what they said about Jesus. No, they continued to meet together. You see, I often speak with people who are wrestling with their faith. It could be a doubt. It could be uncertainty about something in life. And they sometimes feel like church is the last place they want to go. That they shouldn't be in church if they don't believe at all. Or if they're wrestling with what they believe. Or some people who they're wrestling with either the voice of God and the voice of the world. And I've met with some people and they're saying, well, I've actually been listening to the voice of the world for a long time now. And what I say to them is don't give up meeting with your brothers and sisters. Don't lose the voice of God in his word and through other believers at church. And we know that verse from Hebrews 10:25. It says, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. And there might be people here tonight and you're in a massive wrestle with your faith, with your identity, with relationships, with sin, with sexuality, with unemployment, with health, with a loss in your life or uncertainty about the future. But you're here because you know those doubts don't define you. They refine you. you know who you are, and I actually want to commend you for being here tonight and for being here week in, week out. Because for you, it's not actually easy to be here in church. But your faith is so much stronger than my faith because of what you're going through. Your doubts don't define you, they refine you. 1 Peter 1:6 says this. In this context, there's people that are being persecuted, people that have doubts, people that have uncertainty. And this is what it says. Though now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. When doubt comes, when uncertainty comes, when trials come, they refine us like a fire and strengthen our faith. So how do we deal with doubt? Don't stop meeting together and hearing the voice of God and his followers. See, maybe then we could have the faith of the disciples, because you know what the faith of the disciples led them to do. They preached Jesus to the world. They started the early church. They spread Christianity. They healed people. They gave wisdom to people. They wrote the very Bible that we have today. If only we could have as much faith as the disciples. Church, we have more faith than the disciples. Look at what Jesus says to Thomas. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Does that make sense? When the disciples saw Jesus walking around after he was certified dead, they didn't need faith. They didn't need faith because they saw him. They saw the wounds. They saw the miracle. Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you believe, but blessed are those who have not seen yet have believed." What does that look like? Well, I'm going to get a couple of people here on stage to show you what that looks like. Amy and Liam, come join me for a sec. Amy, would you like to sit here on stage? Liam, on this side of the stage. What does it look like to have faith? Now, this is not true, what I'm about to say. It's merely an example, okay? It's a hypothetical. These guys are both Christian. Hypothetical, okay? These guys are both Christian. They both follow Jesus. They both love Jesus. I want to ask the question, who has the greater faith? Don't answer that. We all know, no. Who has the greater faith? Now, let me tell you the only difference between these two guys as Christians. Amy sees miracles every day. There was a couple who they couldn't fall pregnant. And so Amy prayed for the woman, laid a hand on the belly and prayed that God would give them a child. A week later, she heard the news, she was pregnant. Not Amy, the woman. There was a blind guy, came to church. Amy laid hands on him and prayed, "Lord, give him sight." Immediately, the man received sight. As a family friend who was diagnosed with cancer, Amy prayed for him. Later that week, found out that he had no more cancer. She sees miracles every day. Liam, never seen a miracle. Never seen a miracle. Who has the greater faith? It's Liam. Does that make sense? It's actually Liam, because he hasn't seen the miracles. He hasn't seen the outworking of God's Spirit, God's power, and yet he still believes. Amy sees it. And because she sees it, she can believe. Liam has the greater faith. Thank you, guys. Hypothetical, remember? Someone asked me that question when I was in high school. Two Christians, one sees miracles all the time, one doesn't. Who's got the greater faith? I said, definitely the person who sees miracles all the time. And then they said, no, it's the other person. Because they don't see and yet they still believe. And I was taken back. See, that's what faith is. In Hebrews 11:1, it says this, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." That is faith. Friends, we have more faith than the disciples because we haven't seen the risen Jesus. But if we believe, then Jesus calls us blessed. And friends, there will come a day where faith isn't necessary anymore. And it's when Jesus comes again and we see him face to face. And his defeat of death will be played out in all its glory. When Jesus came and lived in the world, when heaven met earth, those that followed him were eyewitnesses to the incredible life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And we get to the end of the book, the end of John's gospel. And this is what it says. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So those same disciples, the eyewitnesses, the ones who wrote the scripture, they all ended up dying for what they believed in, so that we could believe and live. The disciples died for what they believed in so that we could believe and live. If you have doubts, don't stop meeting together. Don't let your doubts define you. Let them refine you. And if you haven't yet believed in Jesus, believe him tonight and you will have life in his name. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you did not stay distant, but you came to us in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that he showed us a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like, where there will be no more pain and no more weeping. Lord, we thank you for the disciples that you revealed yourself to them. And we thank you for their faith that led them to do extraordinary things. But Lord, we thank you that you call us blessed because we are the ones who have not seen and yet we believe. And so I pray for those here tonight who have not yet put their faith in you. Would they do that tonight? Believe and have life in your name. And we pray for us as we go along in our faith, when doubts come, that you will use them to refine us to be more like your Son, Jesus, that we may glorify him with our lives. Amen.